If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the all that is. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is Life is Awareness. So, if you're ready, take a deep breath and come present here and now, acknowledging that you are divine. Always have been, always will be, and any other additive or adjective that you add on to that is of your own interpretation and not essentially real. Be aware that your passage through time and space is not really anything more than a mental stream that the mind has become engaged in. The mind and time flow as a stream of atoms. Mind is the conditioned state of the atoms. Time arises from the interpretation of the past and the projection of the mind into the future. And it is simply that brings the confusion of identity. For we tend to identify with what we feel and experience through our senses, and tend to relate to the future and to people here and now in terms of how we have experienced them in the past. And so it cannot be said that as long as we're engaged in the time, the stream of time, and the stream of thought, that we're truly alive. We are as the walking dead. We are as the sleeping ones, or the sleep walkers, the dream walkers. Sai Baba had this to say in a letter that he wrote to us many years ago, and I quote, "My dears, the time will come when the whole of this dream will vanish. To every one of us, there must come a time when the whole universe will be found to have been a mere dream. When we shall find that the soul is infinitely better than its surroundings. In this struggle through what we call environments, there will come a time when we shall find that these environments were almost zero in comparison with the power of the soul. It is only a question of time, and time is nothing in the infinite. It is like a drop in the ocean. We can afford to wait and be calm. With blessings, Sri Satya Sai Baba." So he taught us that life is awareness. And awareness is full presence here And now, for example, if one were to suddenly come up to you and ask, "Where are you?" what would you say? Would you give the location of your body? Or what you happen to be doing, like driving on the freeway or whatever? And what would be your reply if someone asked you, "What time is it?" Would you immediately look at your watch or maybe the dashboard of your car? I mean, we are asked this constantly, aren't we? Well, the only accurate answer that we could ever give when someone asks, "Where are you?" the answer would be, "Here." You are here. And if one were to ask, "What time is it?" the only accurate reply would be, "Now." So where are you? Here. What time is it? Now. Can you see that that would apply? Whatever the placement would be in time, space, and beyond, in the body, transcending the body, out of the body, interdimensionally, on another planet, the answer would always be here and now. And we're asked all the time, "How are you?" I found that what arose from me spontaneously, relatively recently, without thinking, I would say, "I am divine. How are you?" "I'm divine." Or just divine. And the first few times I did that, people were taken aback. And then I said, well, it's the only truly accurate thing that I can say about myself. Everything else is going to pass away. So I'm telling you the truth as it arose from my heart. How am I? I am divine. So you can see that that too, no matter where the body would be placed, in the physical, in the other dimension, on the another planet, or out of the body, you see, he would remain divine. The divine does not change. It is omnipresent. It is all-powerful. It is all-knowing. And that is the truth. That is who you are, what you are. And so we need to train ourselves to think of ourselves in a different way. We have to undo lifetimes and lifetimes of schooling and conditioning and indoctrination to associate ourselves as being a limited human. Never at any time have we been a human. We are not a human now. We are a divine incarnation, visiting this dimension much like we were taking a field trip or an exploratory voyage to a foreign land. And in a courtesy, we dress as the indigenous beings of that world dress. And so we have appropriated the vehicle or the vestiture or the body so that we can interact appropriately in this world. But then the problem arose when we began to think we were that body. We were that limited presentation. And that's how we all became entrapped here under the laws which operate very automatically of karma or cause and effect and reincarnation. because we became attached to the things that our senses contacted in this dimension. We forgot that we own everything, that all of existence is our home, that everything that is belongs to us already. There is nothing to desire or seek or lust after or have greed or envy or jealousy towards or anger and avarice. These are all unnatural. Our state is naturally happy, peaceful, and free. So through attachment to this dream, this illusion, this appearance of densified thought matter, i.e. material existence, we have to keep re-embodying where we have an attachment, where we have desire. That isn't to say you can't enjoy things. Just don't ever lust after them to where the form causes you to lose awareness that you are eternal divine life now. And so the whole of the spiritual process of awakening is returning to truth, returning to the absolute, beginning to move through your life as a jivan mukta, as a free soul. And you can only do that if you practice constant integrated awareness. We are all CIA agents. We are those that are practicing constant integrated awareness. So where are you? Here. What time is it? Now. How are you? Divine. And these replies are worthy contemplations. These are the things that you ruminate and meditate and contemplate as you go about your day, as you interact with people. Keep that constant integrated awareness and be here now. Even if you have to plan for something in the future, attend to the planning now. Write down your notes or whatever, and move to the next thing that's present. When you do that, you'll find that you're able to operate in absolute impeccability because you will have the fullness of divine life force always present here and now. Moreover, that attitude tends to evoke, if you will, the substance from the universe, you know, the whole thing about doing affirmations and visualizing and all of that, that's not really the accurate way to manifest. That is mental and emotional manipulative gymnastics. And I think many of you who have tried it have given it up at some point, realizing it actually doesn't work. Or if it does work, you don't have enough insight to know that it really wasn't for your highest good. And that lets you know it was coming out of your mind, your emotions, your desires, your greed, your sense of separation from the allness that is. So what we're looking at is how to manifest out of here-ness, now-ness, and divinity, divine manifestation, which is always honored and met with the wherewithal to meet the moment and the need. You will always have what you need because it's at hand. It's within reach, but only here and now. The human being is very used to planning for the future, feeling secure if there's the wherewithal that can be seen tangibly in a bank account, in your whatever's, your stocks or whatever you consider your abundance. But when that is jeopardized or is lost or whatever, which it usually is in one form or another, all of a sudden that sense of abundance, that empowerment, and everything begins to quaver and falter and fall. And you realized you were attached to a material thing which is always subject to change. All form is impermanent. The nature of the material world is impermanency. So you live in worry and agitation because you cannot predict what the future will bring from your mental perspective. You can only relate to it, according to your past experience, which takes you out of the here and the now. And the proof of that is that you live in stress, worry, and concern. How will my needs be met? But the key to that, the key we're giving you tonight, is to stay here and now as divine integrated awareness. And then all else manifests out of that state. We are talking about creation from center point stillness. I mean, try it. The next time you find yourself really stressed, take a deep breath, call yourself into here and now, connect with that divinity within you, and when you've made that contact, you'll notice a profound relief, a stillness. And there are various approaches. I've given you many, many exercises to get to that state. But a simple one that really works is to, first of all, be at one with your environment. Don't have resistance to that which is. Embrace it. Listen to all the sounds. Pay attention to all the sensations. Fully embrace of what's going on in your environment now, without resistance, without judging, without wishing it wasn't that way. Make peace with present moment. And you'll find when you do, you spread out like melted butter. Everything gets kind of part and parcel of your field. And where there's no resistance, there's still presence. It's palpable. You can feel it. You can actually tangibly sense present stillness as absolute relaxation, relief. Those of you that have migraines, those of you who have digestive troubles, all of the various things that indicate tension being held, resistance being upholded, relaxes and releases and disperses its charge when you make peace with the present moment. So these are worthy contemplations to remind yourself throughout the day and to immediately reduce stress, worry, and hurry, all of which arise whenever one loses conscious awareness and gets caught up in the mind stream. Let's consider the mind for a moment like a rapidly moving stream or river. It's not your thoughts most of the time that you're picking up on. It is the collective universal mind that is constantly moving, I would say, with the combined collective momentum of the prevailing level of awareness and consciousness. Well, maybe not awareness, but consciousness itself and its thought generation that we all contribute to. Every one of us has an influence and an impact on that mind stream. So consider it as a flowing, rapidly moving river. Now, using this analogy, consider yourself as a boulder that has rolled down the mountain into that river. You have rolled, as it were, from identification with divine source, which would be like the mountain, down into the river of collective, rapidly moving human thought generation. And like a boulder positioned in the center of the river, just allow the river of thoughts to flow around you, over you, whatever, and you simply remain positioned here and now. Use that as a meditation, if you like, as a contemplation. You have ample opportunity, perhaps, when you're walking in nature. Use everything in your life as a exercise in awareness that draws you into divine realization. So keep returning your focus throughout the day. Whenever you sense any kind of stress, remind yourself, I'm here and now. I am divine. And reminding yourself of that, you will experience a certain relaxation begin to take place. Perhaps you'll notice, if you watch it, pay attention to your sensations, perhaps you'll notice that your tummy begins to relax. And your jaw. Pay attention to your jaw right now. Relax it. Separate your teeth. You'll notice when you're tense, your lips will purse and your jaw will tighten. You absolutely cannot be angry or resistant if you relax your jaw. So, notice that, be aware of your body, and notice that soon you'll feel a deep sigh of relief as the tension begins to release from your face, your mouth, your jaw, your neck, your shoulders, and you can do that when you're in the office, when you're, you know, stopped in traffic. I mean, we're talking about very practical spiritual exercises that you can practice all the time. You're waiting in line, whatever. And practice throughout the day, you will come to recognize a sense of what has been called presence. Presence is conscious awareness of your true being. And it always brings a sense of inner stillness. When you're in the inner stillness, once you've identified the mind stream and have learned how to transcend to the level above the thought-generating portion of the mind, like rising above a cloud bank if you're in an airplane, you keep ascending until you're in that clear, blue, brilliant stillness that always exists above the clouds. And that inner stillness you might call the spaciousness of awareness, as opposed to thought. Practice that. And you'll notice that the inner stillness will begin to replace the tension that is always the sign that the ego mind is trying to bring you out of the state of being into doing. Now, that's not to say that you don't accomplish things. You do act, but you act appropriately from the here and the now and the integration of your personality and soul so that you operate from divine wholeness, which does not communicate as need and lack. The minute you communicate through your mind, through your emotions, that you have a lack, which is what happens whenever you follow I am with a negative statement, the universe can only reflect back to you the quality of the energies. Neediness produces more to have need of. A sense of lack will produce more of that experience of lack. If you do not have a sense of worthwhileness, your whole universe will seem to reflect back to you your unworthwhileness, because the universe is just a mirror that reflects in exact measure and degree the reflection that you put out. That's why affirmations don't work. Because you make an affirmation, and why make an affirmation if you already are that? For example, it would be absolutely stupid for me to sit here and say, I am a woman, I am a woman, I am a woman, for how many times as an affirmation. I know I'm a woman. Or whatever, you catch my drift. So you have no need to affirm that which you know that you are. I mean, think about it. We practice a lot of things in the so-called New Age metaphysical world that are absolute nonsense. And after a while, we just get tired of it and we just go out and try to get a living. I forget that stuff, you know. I'm tired of doing affirmations and doing all this stuff. So what we're teaching here is the natural, simple way of simply returning to that which is. That which is. You don't need any ritual or rigmarole or anything. You just need to be interested in awakening. And have enough interest to back it with a follow-through of your intention. If you don't want to awaken, you won't. Every fruit has its time to ripen, and maybe you're a little green apple. So don't bother with what I'm saying. Just go do what you want to do. But if you're interested in awakening and stepping free in this incarnation, this is what we're sharing with you, the very keys to how to do that and live a normal appearing to others life, except that you don't have that furrowed brow of worry. You don't have that pursed lip of judgment and inner tension. You're joyful. You're happy. You're free. So, what we are sharing here is the key to learning how to manifest and create from your divinity, from your present stillness. So again, where are you? Here. What time is it? Now. How are you? Divine. And you, the real authentic you, is present. And that presence is what we call awareness. And that is your real life. Real life is divinity, present, here and now. Another thing you'll notice is how much energy and clarity come present when you're focused here and now. Exhaustion, frustration, energy drain, burnout, all arise from operating out of the ego mind rather than spiritual awareness. Pay attention. Notice how your energy drops when you're in ego mode, when you're expressing negativity. All negativity comes from the ego. All of it. It's always got an attitude, superior, inferior, better than, worse than, whatever. It's got attitude, and that drains because it goes against the grain of who and what you are as a completely whole and holy divine presence. So God is energy. Param Shakti, it's called in Sanskrit. And all energy comes from being connected to the divine current. All energy comes from being connected to the divine current. Maybe I should say all sustaining energy. Because the mind has a level of energy, the emotions have a level of energy, and the physical body reflects the attitudes and the energy of the mind and emotions of itself. It's, you know, it doesn't do anything. It reacts to the thought. So the divine current that we're speaking of is like the living photonic energy, which is much like electricity. It's been called the living word. It's been called the light and the sound, the word of God, the bread of life. And it's that that gives true nourishment and strength. So you'll notice when you're centered here and now, and that inner stillness of the divine can be felt, pay attention that there is a flowing current of vitality coursing through your nervous system. Often when I start the seminars and I ask you to take a deep breath, breath is God, and to bring yourself forward, often I'll mention that the body starts to rock back and forth. Or sometimes you'll notice it pulses. Or jolt. Sometimes before I would speak at the Wesak festival, and I'd be integrating the energy of Ashtar, attuning to his energy, it would be so powerful that I had to have two people sitting on either side of me, because the jolt of energy sometimes would cause me to jump in my seat, sometimes as high as a foot in the air. And that would look very odd, you know, to the audience. And usually I was sitting where the audience could see me. So I would have two of my attendants sit on either side and hold me. So they would just notice a slight jolt instead of me, you know, leaving my seat. And that's because of the force field, which is so powerful with extraterrestrial, in his case, a very, very high extraterrestrial master. So the point I'm making here is that there's always some registered effect when you're in connection with that energy. You will notice a shift in your electromagnetic field, which is what your body is. So the body, in terms of the divine current, is the negative receptor. And the spiritual Shakti is the positive. And when the two meet, you have that current of electricity, which vivifies. We often call it centrifuge. It electrifies and vivifies the material inert body. And that's what nourishes you. The scriptures say we are nourished by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that word is the living word. It's the divine sound current. It's the light and the sound. It's the divine love. And it is powerful. So the body may experience these jolts of energy, and they've been called kriyas. Kriyas are a purifying action that flows through the nervous system, clearing, purifying, releasing any blocks, and enabling that divine current to flow unimpeded through the nervous system and hence through your aura and through your actions of your mind and your emotions and your physicality. So, kriyas indicate the purifying and aligning of the body with the divine. So pay attention when you call yourself forward by taking a deep breath. And the calling forward is connecting on a very strong level of intention with your divine core essence and breathing it down into your body and anchoring it when you intend it with undivided, let's say, the exercising of will, and don't counter it with any doubt, operate in full confidence that it is given as soon as you act, you will always notice a contact is made. And you just keep practicing until that contact is made. Same thing if you're a speaker. If you need to do a, I'm a public speaker, and so I learned how to do this, that always when I step forward under the anointing before the podium, always whatever is needed will flow through me. I never have to worry about what to say or what to do, because that energy comes present on my commitment to be of service, whether that's a one-on-one consultation or speaking or writing or doing these radio shows each week. Same process. I'm never left without that which is necessary to be imparted. And I of myself do nothing except obey and move with that intention. So, you could, if you wanted, consider divine energy like electricity, your nervous system like the wiring in your house. In this case, your body would be your house, and light or illumination of your consciousness as the result. Now, here's something you can also notice as you go about the day. A person who is really filled with divine energy or Shakti is always radiant. The face has a luster to it. Watch when someone, for example, if you've ever been in a workshop with a really wonderful teacher, as soon as that anointing comes on them, they begin to glow. Their face begins to shine. And that's the anointing. That's the illumination arising from within that person. So the energy is always one that produces luster or radiance or that inner glow. Likewise, when people get into a negative mood, a dark mood, if you will, their countenance begins to darken. I've watched with in amazement with ordinarily very radiant light workers. They'll get into a bad mood or they'll get angry, and you'll watch the light leave their face, and their face just darkens, and they look ugly. You know, they look grotesque. You know, if you want to end anger, look at yourself when you're in a really nasty mood and giving someone a piece of your ego rather than your loving. Watch how ugly the face becomes, how darkened. It's not without reason that the dark forces are called the lords of the darkened countenance. So the face is designed to be radiant with love and with bliss. And when you have love and bliss, or even just simple happiness, you'll notice there's a glow. Anyone who's in love has that glow. Or a mother who's carrying a child that she really, really wants. She is luminous and glowing. And that's because she is in that state of higher energy and divinity. So, keep your face bright by keeping your attitude at a high altitude. So the energy is also one of vitality, aliveness, vivacity. Even if one is sitting very still, as many illumined ones can be found to do, especially in India, you know, where the training is to, you know, sit in the silence. Spend maybe years in monum or silence. But there's a sense of electricity, of dynamism in their very presence. People used to go sit with a great, great master, Ramana Maharshi, and he never spoke. He just had you meditate on, who am I, in his presence. But that electricity, that shakti, that dynamism would bring transformation of whoever was sitting in his presence. And he didn't have to say a word. You will not have to say a word either, unless, of course, that's your mission. But your influence will activate and awaken everyone in under your aura of influence. So where are you? What time is it? How are you? And there's your spiritual practice. You're practicing divine awareness here and now. How simple is that? And all you're required to do is notice whenever you have the slightest hint of stress or strain or impatience or feel your energy drain or boredom or frustration or anxiety or any other feeling of negativity. Notice, you've been distracted and attracted into the mind stream of the ego. Okay, just notice it, don't judge it. And just return your focus here and now. And be aware that God is. So the divine is present in you as you. God is in you as you. As that awareness, as that vitality, as that loving. And as the truth of everything and everyone in existence. So that's the natural way, or as it would be called in Sanskrit, the Sahaja Marga, the natural way. So you're training your mind and your emotions to obey you, the divine awareness, the divine incarnation that is simply using the body as its vehicle of service. That's how you take charge of your mind and your emotions. They're vehicles, they're servants in your household of consciousness. But they are not to run you and rule you and distract you from divine awareness. And regard your body as like your car. You use it to go about in, but never for a moment do you ever say, I am my car. I mean, it's stupid, right? It seems so silly to even suggest that. And yet the same analogy applies to your body. It is only a vehicle to move about within the physical dimension. That's it. It's going to wear out. So, awareness is life because one can only be said to be truly alive when divinely present. And divinely present has an awakened sense of presence with a capital P. So presence is known by various terms. Some of you might be familiar with a few of these. Excuse me. To the charismatic Christians, it is called the anointing of the Holy Spirit. To the Buddhist, it's called Rigpa. To the Hindu, it's called Shakti. To the New Ager, it's called empowerment. To the athletes, it's called being in the zone or in your wheelhouse. And to most everyone, it's being on your game. You know, we all recognize that when you're in any of those states, there's no separate sense of self. The doing and the being merge seamlessly into one. And whoever gets in that state, which is transcendental, it's beyond the mind, there's no ego agenda, there's just being that, whatever that is that the being is being. So I think you catch the sense of it now without it being too esoteric. So while the ego often appears as if it were in the zone, the way you can tell that it's not is that it will soon falter, fail, and run out of steam and peter out. Why? Because it is only mental energy that is operating through it. And that has its limit. It has its limit. So when you are with a God-realized soul, like Satya Sai Baba, for example, you notice he never gets tired. I've seen him out for hours and hours and hours at a time, giving individual spoonfuls of Amrita, divine nectar, in the boiling hot sun, and he's as fresh as a daisy. You know, in those early years when there were not, you know, 500,000 or more people there. But there were thousands there. And Amaji, look at the living, wonderful saint that we have, the Divine Mother Amaji. Another wonderful avatar. No one in a human mental ego state could possibly sit without eating, drinking, going to the bathroom, or taking a break. No one could sit for 36 hours and hug thousands and thousands and thousands of people. The last time I went to see Amaji several years ago, I was 560-something on the list that was going to come up to her to be hugged. Thank God I got to hug Amaji when she first came to the United States in 80, I think it was the late 70s, early 80s, and there were only like maybe 12, 16 of us in a circle around her, and we crawled up on her lap, and we could just hang out there. We didn't have to rush. But now, sometimes she will go for a day and a night and into the next day. And what I'm telling you is that no human being can do that. That is because she is living in constant integrated awareness. She has transcended the ego mind entirely, and only the divine Param Shakti itself is moving through her. So, and likewise, when I went in the 80s to see the great Sri Anandamoyi Ma, same thing. You know, the manifestation is different through each saint, through each avatar, through each divine God-realized person, but the behavior is the same. Same thing for Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa, you know, she was told not even to get out of her bed. She had such a bad heart. But there she was, working day and night, day and night, day and night, with only the joy of the bliss of the divine presence animating that frail little body, that frail, precious, saintly body. What a great, great example. What great, great privilege we have to breathe the same air and to walk the same earth with such souls. And we're called to that same level. Every single one of us has that same potential. Sai Baba says that you have in your power to make your days on earth a path of flowers instead of a bed of thorns. Recognize the divinity resident in every heart, and all will be smoothness and softness and sweetness for you. The Lord will be the fountain of love in your heart, and experienced in the hearts of all with whom you come in contact. That divine love pouring forth and touching to the people you interact with will cause a like response from them. So know that the divine is omnipresent and is resident in every living being and in you. And thus you adore everyone as you adore your chosen beloved. And I go on to share from Sai Baba. Know that God is not involved in either reward or punishment. God only reflects, resounds, and reacts. As the eternal, unaffected witness, you decide your own fate. Do good, be good, you receive good in return. Be bad, do bad deeds, and you reap bad results. It's unnecessary to thank or blame God. God does not even will that creation, protection, and destruction shall take place. These simply follow the same law, the innate law of the Maya-ridden universe. So why do untoward events take place? Only to promote what is good. They have a cleansing effect. Rise and fall are natural events. When any such event takes place in relation to the divine, it must be regarded as the prelude to something elevating and sublime. What we need to realize is that the divine operates through human vehicles, through human hands and feet. It is through that way that the divine can bring transformation, healing, order, and peace into these material universes. The avatar, the one who has the job assignment of embodying the full divinity in a human form, comes to lead the charge, to point the way, to correct the wayward mind in man's sensual impulses. But he works only from the willingness of that person to, let's say, willingly come into agreement with self-correction. Because if we don't act upon the teachings, then, you know, there's no transformation. We have to couple our own volitional action with the grace and the direction of the divine incarnation or avatar. So, while the avatar has the ability to change earth into sky and sky into earth and bring about an instant change, if and when that were absolutely necessary, that's very rarely how the avatar operates. Because if he suddenly came, descended on earth, brought peace, and to the warfare, evolution and all progress for the human race would come to an immediate halt. And man would not have learned his lesson, he would not have mastered himself or his environment, and very soon the same mess he would recreate, just the way it is now. Because without transformation, which as we keep saying, comes only by divine grace and comes to each person at their point of willingness to be transformed, not going to be foisted on you. The correction is always from within. And the correction is made gradually by bringing transformation to the mind. And from the mind, thus the behavior begins to shift. And it all starts with the individual's immediate home, the immediate environment where that person lives and moves and does their daily activities. And it keeps spreading until it affects the community, the nation, and more people. And that's how the kingdom of God is manifested upon earth. Because the kingdom of God is at hand. It is present. It is not coming. It is present wherever living love is being expressed. Wherever conscious integrated awareness forever the anointing of the presence, the pleroma, as it's called, the fullness of the Christ. Wherever that is present, the kingdom has come. So people waiting for Ashtar to come and change things, or the Lord Jesus to put his feet on the Mount of Olives and bring instant transformation, all of these are made-up doctrines of people, a misunderstanding of the teaching, a bringing into an identification with form, that which will forever transcend and trump form. That which is not of the carnal mind nature at all, but is ever perfect, whole, free, and transcendental. And it's that part of us that we need to connect with, because that's our only purpose here on earth, is to be done with a sense of separate individuality and to give our whole being over to full occupancy of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not something that comes outside. It is that which wells up from within and keeps welling up from within, so that that which is greater begins to transform and transfigure until, like the Lord Jesus the Christ, we take the fallen flesh, and we transfigure it into immortal, resurrected, full-spectrum light, eternal life. That is your heritage. That is my heritage. The door is open. The way has been prepared. And you're all invited. So come and be truly living in the presence, here and now. So let's take a deep breath and let's chant on I Hu as we close our seminar. Deep breath. God bless you. God is blessing you. You are the blessing of God. Adonai.